Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is August the 23rd in the year, they say it is 2016. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I hope that my voice finds you in relative safety of a sound mind behind these enemy lines. I know it's kind of difficult for a lot of people dealing with that post-traumatic stress disorder, and you know, when the trauma is still occurring, well, it's nothing post-traumatic about it, it's just traumatic. So we got a lot of people, particularly in the black community, suffering from traumatic stress disorder, and so, you know, we just got to do the best we can to maintain. All right, today, just basically going to go over a couple of news items, not going to go over an hour broadcast today because of some issues going on with the network. It's nothing really serious, but we stream out through several different platforms, and those platforms still have not updated their streams with our new server information, as we did change servers, upgraded the software, hoping to provide a better listening experience. But those platforms like TuneIn and Streamer have not updated the streams yet after a week. So, but you still can listen online at blacktalkradionetwork.com through a variety of devices. But it just seems that a lot of people listen to our station through the TuneIn apps that come on phone, which got me to thinking yesterday. I started researching, you know, maybe we just need to come out with our own app for smartphones, and I've started researching that. It can be very expensive, but I'm looking at how to do it from the technical standpoint and host my own app instead of paying a company $30, $40, $50, how much ever they're charging a month to host your app for you. We have our own servers, so I just got to figure out the technology. I just got to go to school. I just got to learn it, and I'm sure I can come up with something. So that's one of the issues that I need to work on. I do need to change out all the media players, not really change them out, but update them, as some of our clients who operate independent media stations, they have no choice now but to switch over. Was waiting on many of them to switch over and get their new stations up and running, but the old server is down, so they don't have any choice. So it does seem like many of them have moved over, so I do need to update the media player information so it's pulling from the right stream, and this just occurred today. So need to work on that. Just got a lot of stuff to do in general. Now, a couple of the news items that I do want to go over, and by the way, you can call in and share any kind of news that you would like to share relative to what we talk about on this program, where we talk about social and political issues. as it relates to black people on the planet, not just here in the United States, although we do focus a lot of attention just here in the United States because we in the belly of the beast. But the telephone numbers to get in a question or a comment, report some news, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *61 if you would like to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. Now, a couple of the news items that I want to share with you before the end of the broadcast. You have newly discovered Clinton emails that appear to reveal a pay-for-access scheme and to get government influence. Talking about these corporations and individuals donating money to the Clinton Foundation, which is a charity fraud. This Clinton Foundation is only supposed to be a library. That is what their paperwork states. They incorporated as a nonprofit library. A library, not a nonprofit global organization or entity that's taking money from different countries and individuals, corporations, and then those people getting access to Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I tell you, man, I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can just look over all of this criminality, all of this impropriety, and just act like it don't matter. But at the same time, though, you want to, you know, point your fingers at the people with the least power in this country, and you want to criticize their behavior, but yet you obviously are condoning the behavior of some very, very criminals, man. Basically, is what we're talking about. It's criminals. We're talking about criminals. Got all these people in prison on nonviolent drug crimes, victimless crimes, prostitution, things of that nature, where an individual was not harmed, where it didn't involve any children. But we got these people, we put them in jail, we fine them, we put them in prison. And but yet, you know, these politicians, these political figures can just break all the laws they want to and get away with it. And so when we hear the CEO of USA Inc. start talking that law and order stuff, when we hear Donald Trump talk that law and order stuff, whenever we hear anybody talk that law and order stuff, they usually are directing those comments at you and I, the people with the least political power in this country, the people with the least economic power in this country. We're expected to abide by the law, but the law doesn't so much apply to people like Hillary Clinton, so, and her husband, Bill. So anyway, you got new emails coming out that reveal this pay, you know, for access. You can get access to Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State of USA, Inc., and this is illegal, but again, the Department of Justice and FBI have shown no interest in holding the Clintons and their associates to the standard of law applied to millions of people who are recycled every year through the U.S. system of criminal injustice, which operates on systemic racism. Donald Trump, his campaign staff members have posted racist comments to social media. You had the Associated Press scour all of the people who's being paid by him, whether they are still employed by his campaign or if they have resigned and left the campaign for whatever reason. Associated Press decided they was going to dig into these people's social media accounts, sort of like what your employer, you know, does to you when you go fill out an application. They want to make sure that, you know, your politics are right and you agree with them before they give you a job. So they check your Facebook, they check your Twitter, and yeah, they do all that kind of surveillance on you. So the Associated Press did some surveillance on campaign staff members of Donald Trump and found all these racist posts. But one of the things in the article I did not see is that any of these social media platforms where they found these racist posts, you know, these people weren't banned or kicked off the platform for pushing hate speech and pushing racism and white supremacy. No, of course not. Of course not. You know, they call that freedom of speech. And, you know, some of these platforms obviously don't got a problem with all of this racist content that's being spewed. So anyway, definitely want to take a look at those two stories. And the only reason I'm really looking at them, because I'm getting so tired. I'm getting so tired, but it is my job to report on things that are happening in the people activity area of politics. But this whole thing is a sham, more so than any elections past that I have paid attention to. It's a sham. You got the two possibly worst candidates you could have picked by, and the establishment did the picking. Two worst candidates, both of them have historic unfavorability polls and what have you, but yet, you know, we have people, especially in the black community, I ain't really concerned about other people, but people in the black community, we're just totally, we still buy into it. And again, I'm not one of those people that are going to tell you not to vote and your vote don't make a difference. I believe it does make a difference, but it makes a difference more so at the local level and the state level than it does at the federal level. And, you know, you can influence government policy without actually voting. You can do that. You know, there was no black people voting prior to 1865 in the breakout of the Civil War. But you had plenty of black people who were advocating for an end to slavery and pushing for a Civil War and freeing these people by force. And that came about. It came about not because black people voted or whatnot. So there are many different ways you can impact or influence politics. It doesn't always have to be through the vote, but I do think voting is important. I'm not one of those people that's going to tell you that people died for you have that right to vote. Well, you know, they may have died for you to have a choice of whether or not you want to vote or not. You know, let's be accurate. But then also people kill. We kill for the right to vote. Want to be, you know, integrated into this system, show we can be good Americans, sign up for the military. We go kill people, trying to prove to them that we deserve all the basic rights. So, you know, we partner with them in oppressing other people. So people have killed for you know, that right. But again, I feel like we have to first master local politics. It's just a shame that we have in many of these locations where you have a high number of black people where we're not even controlling the local politics. And that's a shame. And controlling the local politics does not simply mean voting in black people, because they may not be black. They skin color may be black. They may go to a black church. They, you know, but they may not be down with black people. They may be down with the Democrats or down with the Republican agenda and not so much down with the agenda of black folks. If we can say we even have an agenda, because right now we don't really have, other than our independent media voices, we don't have a way to even push a black agenda. And that's the work, you know, that is being attended to by 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. You can go to the website, IamOneOfTheMillion.com. And they are going to have their first annual national convention in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that's in October the 7th, over the weekend. So that's something that's in the works. It's something that should have been done, but for whatever reason, it wasn't done, or people tried to do it, and then you had the government come in and destroy the party, just like the FBI destroyed the Black Panther Party, which became a political party that put forth candidates, even ran one for president. I think that was Eldridge Cleaver, I think, ran for president. I could be wrong about that, but they did run political candidates. Came close to winning a couple of offices and whatnot, but that was the last time I remember a political party that was putting forth a black agenda. Right now, we don't have one. We beg the Democrats to, you know, put certain things on their platform and to, you know, address our issues. But for the most part, we're pretty much ignored, except for during this time where they make promises to you. But then after the election's over, you know, it's back to normal business as usual, ignoring the needs of black people. So those are a couple of the stories that I want to talk about. It's just so fraudulent, man. And these stories just really illustrate that these two people, that they are putting up, the system's putting up as to become the next CEO of USA Inc. Disastrous choices. I don't know what they trying to do, what they trying to pull, but I just know a whole lot of people is falling for it. Millions of people are falling for it, and it's just time for a new paradigm. We can't allow them to keep make us feel like we trapped in this and we got to vote for one or the other, because we don't have to. We don't. Now, let me go over, before I get to those news items, let me just go over some other news stories I briefly wanted to share. Let me go to the group on btrcommunity.com. That's our new social media platform, a safe digital space for black people, way for us to fund our media operations, a new way for us to fund it, just trying to do our best to not rely on outside funding so that we can be in total control of our voices, have true independence. In the group, you'll find in the group Abolitionists. I posted an article there that I do want to share because I think it's important that we pay attention to the private prison slavery industry that's going on in this country. We know that the Department of Justice, the deputy chiefs, came out, made an announcement last week saying that they were moving away from private prisons, said they did a study and it showed that these private prisons are more dangerous and than public prisons and don't provide any kind of monetary savings to the taxpayer. So they are eliminating that. They weren't supposed to renew any contracts. But then 2 days later, the BOP, which is the Federal Bureau of Prisons, renewed a GEO Group contract anyway. So then I was like, see, doesn't matter what they say. They, you know, you got people that do whatever the hell they want to do, apparently. But then another story came out that said that that contract that just recently got renewed got canceled again. So there seems to be some turmoil going on in the federal government in regards to private prisons. But now in the financial sector, because again, you know, slavery has always been, black bodies have always been traded on the Wall Street stock market. Wall Street in New York City used to be a place where, you know, they actually put Africans up for sale. So it's always been a part of legalized slavery in this country, and it continues to be. So I was looking at SeekingAlpha.com. Well, actually, I got an email because I have these email alerts out on in particular on particular topics and subject matter. So I got an email today. And so you have this financial pro that works for Seeking Alpha. I guess he's a financial advisor, guru, or something like that. His name is, I think it's Stephen Alpha. He is a news editor for Seeking Alpha. Again, Seeking Alpha is a financial website that deals with the stock market, things of that nature, the whole markets. So anyway, I came across this article on there today after I got an email alert. It said that Seeking Alpha author warns on buying the dip in GEO Group. So this is what he's referring to, and I talked about it the other day. Upon that announcement of the DOJ saying they weren't going to renew any more private prison contracts, and the ones that are in existence, they were going to try to modify them and reduce them, reduce, you know, their reliance on them. So the stock market reacted to that news, and the stocks of the two largest private prison, probably MTC, which is the third largest as well. I did not see any information on their stock, and I didn't think to go look up to see how they were performing. But I was seeing a lot of information pertaining to the GEO Group and CCA, Correction Corporation of America. And on that trading day, they lost up to 50% of their stock price. Now, I then saw another article the next day that said after hours trading. So apparently you can do after hours trading after the stock market has closed. And they kind of recovered some of their losses. They didn't totally recover all of their losses, but I think they recovered about 30% of what they lost, maybe 30%. I'm not sure. But so people, when that stock dropped, a lot of people will, who are regular investors, play the stock market and whatnot. When they see something like that, they may see it as an opportunity. They'll be like, well, maybe this is only temporary. Let me get some of this slavery stock while it's low. Why is this low? Let me load up on the slavery stock and hopefully it will rebound and I'll make a killing. All right. And so, you know, I imagine that's how they recovered some of that. But this particular article, this financial analyst is warning people against buying GEO Group stock because of the dip. Let me just say this. Let me just read from the bullet points. It's not really an article, but they just give bullet points. It says, Seeking Alpha Pro Jake Gutwein, who last November recommended shorting GEO Group at negative 3%, nevertheless reminds that last week's DOJ decision affects only a small proportion of the company's business. And that's what I was telling people. Look, only 12% to 15% of these companies' contracts come from the federal government. The bulk of their contracts come from the states, like Louisiana, which has a contract with CCA to keep the prison 90% full. And so while we should celebrate that as a victory, it's still just one battle. It's not going to put them out of business when the states have all these contracts. So we need to focus our efforts nationally on actually getting some legislation to ban private prisons, period. Just ban them. Make them illegal to operate here. Make them get out the country, move out the country. But as it stands now, they're not in danger of collapsing because they have all this state business. So he's correct in that. Second bullet point, an investor's outlook needs to be based on what route the states might pursue, says Gutwein. And the heavy majority of research agrees with the Department of Justice conclusion that for-profit prisons are worse than public prisons with safety and offer minimum price advantage, though this area of study is controversial. Point three, regardless, continues Gutwein, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the fundamentals of the company are not stable. The market size is decreasing. The political winds are blowing in the wrong direction, and the company offers an inferior service. If the precedent set by justice holds, there is no definitive way the company survives. But see, again, this goes back to what the guy say. The guy stated about, well, it depends on what the states do. So that is where we as abolitionists, not to say that we haven't, but we need to redouble our efforts is on the state level. If you live in a state that is using private prison plantations to you know, manage the prisons in the state, you need to be going after them. You need to be contacting congressmen, your state representatives, I should say. You need to be contacting your governor. You need to be putting all the pressure you can on them to end those contracts. Not to say that at the same time, we still shouldn't on the federal level be seeking to pass this Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015, get that into actual law that would ban private prisons. But again, you know, you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. We need to have rods in all fires, you know, not we should be utilizing every avenue that is available to us to push abolitionism to end slavery in this country. So I thought that was just pretty interesting that you got some of these financial analysts. Seeking Alpha is a major player in this particular form of media dealing with, you know, the stock market and these corporations and capitalism and all of that. So I just want to offer that up to you as to say that, you know, just keep the fight, keep the battle going, keep the pressure on. You are rattling some cages out there. You are making these people nervous. We are seeing some reaction, and that's only because of you. That's only because of you putting pressure on these people to end slavery in this country and not taking no for an answer and not compromising with these slavers. So just keep up the good work, man. As we can see, you know, they are concerned about the future of the private industry as it pertains to slavery in this country. Again, slavery was never abolished. The 13th Amendment states of the U.S. Constitution that it's legal as punishment for crime. So, you know, just so many things that we have to be aware of, and we just have to keep the fight going because it's not going to end itself. And we are seeing some positive movement in that direction, but by no means are we nearing the end of this war. And it is a war, but this is good news to report. This is good intelligence that tells us that what we are doing is not futile, that we are making an impact. All right, so let me move on. That's all I really wanted to share. There's a lot of other interesting content shared by members of the platform. Again, that's btrcommunity.com. Social media platform built by black people for black people. It's managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. So let me move on to the stories that I wanted to share. I do not see that we have anyone that wants to call in and comment. So let me just go to the posting in BTR community for today's program. Clinton is a crook and Trump is a suspected racist. I don't think we should. I think we can pretty much confirm that he's a racist. I don't know why I chose that word, suspected. But the people he's surrounding himself with, some of his business activities of the past, the dog whistles that he blew out there on the campaign trail, I think it's safe to call him a racist. We don't have to suspect him of anything. But the implication is, though, is that if Trump's a racist, it's like we're saying that Hillary Clinton's not. That's not what I'm saying, because she most certainly is. But let's get to some of these stories. All right, the first story we're going to tackle is the House panel is ramping up pressure on the FBI over Clinton emails. I wrote about this. I said, this is a huge mess, but the whole ordeal shows several things, that all white supremacists or racist suspects do not always work together. They are not always working on the same playbook, working from the same playbook. They have competitions against themselves. You know, they have different factions and what have you, different denominations of white supremacy, if you want to look at it as a religion. You know, they have different denominations that compete against each other to be the dominant white supremacists. And to me, that we have to exploit every avenue or facet that we can. I'm not one of those to think that white people are superior and they the smartest in the universe. I just think that they cheat a whole damn lot, and you know, they really don't have any morals, no moral compass, and they're willing to do anything to accomplish their goals. And I just feel like when you're dealing with an enemy like that, you got to be willing to do, like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. But we want to play by the rules, and they don't have no rules. And so that's why we losing. It ain't because they superior. They are not superior, because a superior being would not need lesser beings to help them to implement the system. And I think it is without a doubt that if you only have 5%, if you have 5% of the population that can be called racist, white racist, that, and they are in charge of the system, the global system that, you know, people call racism, white supremacy, there's no way they can maintain or even operate that system without help from non-white people, very people that they're targeting. And in fact, they do. It does not work without us. So I don't think it's cause they superior or smarter or more intelligent, or they just don't have a moral compass and they don't play by rules, and we want to play by rules. We want to, you know, show how our humanity by forgiving people, and I don't know, man, it's just crazy. Anyway, this whole mess does, to me, it shows that all white supremacists ain't working together, that they have, you know, their own internal battles and whatnot, and we just haven't found out a way to exploit that. But number two, that law and order is a phrase only used in regard to the people who have the least political power in the nation. So TheHill.com, based in Washington, D.C., they have a report out, just came out about maybe 3 or 4 hours ago, and they said that a House intelligence panel is ramping up pressure on the FBI over the Clinton emails. And so actually I will jump right into that on the other side of our station identification break as I try to stay on schedule. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News right here on Black Talk Radio Network, providing new black media for the new millennium. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back. Getting right to this story from The Hill about Clinton's email. Says a House Oversight Committee is increasing the pressure on the FBI to hand over additional emails related to Hillary Clinton's use of private email server while she was Secretary of State. In a letter on Monday, that was today, committee chairman Jason Chaffetz asked FBI Director James Comey for additional information about the presence of classified information on the personal systems of personal machines Clinton used. He also pushed for the FBI to create an unclassified version of the files it sent to Capitol Hill last week, detailing its year-long investigation, which could then be made public. What we're asking the FBI in a letter today to do is create an unclassified version and then release that to the public, Chavez said. Let's go ahead and get that out there sooner rather than later. It's so sensitive and so classified that even I, as chairman of the Oversight Committee, don't have the high level of clearance to see what's in the materials, he said during a separate news appearance. I think the documents are overly classified. Clinton's presidential campaign has similarly suggested releasing the entire trove of material that the FBI sent to Congress last week. Otherwise, the campaign and its allies have feared GOP lawmakers might be able to selectively leak embarrassing excerpts to the press. It's unclear whether the FBI will agree to the request to declassify the documents, which includes summaries of interviews with Clinton and her senior aides. So again, this just points to the lack of transparency in government. Lack of transparency. Again, this woman was not supposed to be using a private email server. She was not supposed to be using unsecure BlackBerries while in nations said to be hostile to the U.S. interests, transferring classified information over that document while you're over that device, unsecure device, while you're in that nation. Man, I'm telling you, man, people in the military have lost their security clearances. Some have gone to jail or kicked out the military for less. Then the federal records law clearly state that when you leave office, you're supposed to turn over all your emails, but yet here we find out today that they're still finding thousands of more. As this article says, Clinton's troubling email history dominated the headlines on Monday with revelation that the FBI discovered approximately 15,000 new emails that Clinton had not handed over to the State Department for record-keeping purposes. Again, we're talking about, what, 6 years after this woman, 5 years after this woman has left the State Department, that she was supposed to turn over these documents, and now we keep hearing week after week about new documents surfacing. But you want to tell me, I mean, just setting aside her criminality, her anti-blackness, the murder and mayhem that she has helped spread across the planet, just putting all that aside, this woman is clearly incompetent. clearly incompetent. It boggles my mind how anybody can make any kind of defense. And again, I'm not talking about white people. I'm talking about black people that I hear who co-signing on to this criminal or saying, oh, we got to keep Trump out of there. Look, ain't nothing going to happen special under Trump that ain't going to happen under whatever CEO they put in there. What you need to be focusing on is preparing personally with your family, with your community for whatever may come, instead of relying on these people like they going to save you when they the very ones that's oppressing you. In his Monday letter, Chavez pressed Comey about the fact that Clinton's lawyers and IT aides who did not have security clearances had access to her server and thumb drive containing messages and classified information. Just as classified information may not be provided to anyone without an appropriate clearance, classified information must also not be stored on a computer system that is not authorized to store it. So again, she's above the law. The Republicans in this case, even though they are correct in their assessment of what the statutes say and what she did that was in a violation of law, if it was one of their own, for example, let's say this was Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney ain't never really worked for the U.S. federal government, but John McCain. If John McCain had done something like this, they wouldn't be making an issue out of it. No, they would be telling you the same thing the Clinton people telling you and the Democrats telling you. Move along. Nothing to see here. Weren't no laws broken. Blah, 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 blah. So it's not lost on me the partisanship that is being displayed here. But facts are facts. The law is what it says it is. And she clearly violated the law. And there is clearly not an effort to apply the law equally to the Clinton crime syndicate as it's being applied to millions of people who are in prison or on their way to prison right now. It's not being applied equally. And they could keep on and keep on. I just do not suspect that the FBI is going to change his mind. I don't care what kind of new information comes out. You know, they've already shown that they are not credible. They have no credibility. And they are not interested in practicing justice. So it's really, I think, well, the Republicans, they're going to keep on. And they should. They should. I want more people to get more information about the nature of these people that many of us, for whatever reasons, are falling behind, man. It just don't make any sense. It just doesn't. Next story. This will be the last story. I can't think of anything else that I would like to share. Again, if you have anything to share during the time that we have left, there are two ways that you can get in on the broadcast, and that is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. 032-POUND. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line, that's 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. For some reason, I'm not able to get into the conference line. It's kind of locking up on me. All right, but moving on to, I'll keep trying to get in there. But the Associated Press apparently has gone over the social media accounts of staff members of Donald Trump. People working for his campaign right now, or people who at one time worked for his campaign, and they found all kind of racist posts on social media that these people put out. I'm not going to insult you with any of their words. And, it's just further confirmation that Donald Trump is a racist. You know, it's just not that he discriminated in his business practices back in the 70s. When he was president of his father's company, the business practices of housing discrimination and not renting to black non-white people in Manhattan or wherever it was. Was it in Manhattan? No, it wasn't Manhattan. I think it was in Harlem wherever it was in New York City where they had this housing. So it's not just that. It's not just the dog whistles he had blown to talk about, to send these messages to the racist suspects out there that's on the low end of the totem pole that, you know, we're going to take the country back, which we first heard that from the Tea Party during the last presidential election. So this is just more confirmation. I'm pretty sure he's not going to fire anybody because of some racist stuff that they posted to social media. But the thing is that these posts, according to the Associated Press, are apparently still up in these platforms. Twitter, Facebook obviously did not ban them, did not delete the tweets and what have you, and they left these racist landmines for you to come across on their platforms, because, you know, freedom of speech is more important to them than anti-blackness, and that covers anti-black speech. People have freedom to do that on those platforms, I recommend. So every day, well, more and more, it just seems that Donald Trump campaign, these new revelations, not new revelations, they're new in terms of the stories are new, but in terms of the allegations of racism, those are not new. They've been making it since he burst onto the scene of this presidential election. Okay, what is going on? I tell you, it's always something with technology, but we got to master it. I'm unable to get into the conference line right now. The internet browser acts like it wants to lock up. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised by this. Neither should you. Just more confirmation of the type of people that we're dealing with. And Donald Trump, I don't even think he's really trying to become president. I think he didn't even think he would get this far. I really do believe that this was, this whole election process that we have seen was planned out years ago. I think that Bill Clinton got with him. Either they met at Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island or on a golf course, and, you know, they hatched this plot where Donald would run as a Republican, try to win the nomination so that he can make it just that much easier for Hillary Clinton, people to view her as a viable alternative to Donald Trump, when they're just both horrible people, man. They really are. I just don't see how anybody can feel good or even hold their nose to endorse either one of them. Again, you have choices. You're not limited just to those two people. You're just not. But again, in my opinion, what we need to do as people, black people need to do, we need to go back to the basics. We need to go back to ground zero, and we need to be working on controlling politics on a local level. Because it is clear we have no influence over the Democratic Party. We have no influence over the Republican Party. Pretty much money, billionaires, corporations dominate that. It's pretty evident. Nobody can deny that. Nobody credible, that is. So we have no influence. So why do we want to continue to give our money, give our energy to something that is not bearing any fruit for us? So let's just go to ground zero. Let's go back to the basic. Let's try to control a school board. Let's try to control a city council. Let's try to control, and I'm not just talking about electing people who look like us. I'm talking about people who look, not only look like us, but live like us, who identify with us and don't have an agenda to, you know, get rich off the process. That's what we need to be focusing on, a long-term plan for politics. And I'm glad that there are some people out there working on that. I'm happy to support the efforts of 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. Again, their national conference is coming up here shortly. Be on you before you know it, as we're almost out of the month of August. So it I believe it starts in October. I have posted the event in our event section. You can look on the schedule and see it. That's on btrcommunity.com, and you can get the details. You will also get a link to where you can register online. So that's where we need to be focused at. That's where we need go back to the basics. Let's create a viable entity or organization that's looking after the political and economic issues or interests of black people as a group. Because I don't know how many times, you know, the Democrats had to not do anything for us. We know the Republicans ain't really trying to do nothing either. So I just don't know. How many times do we have to see this or, you know, not getting a return in our on our investment into the Democratic Party or this political system, and we start changing the way that we're operating or changing up the tactics and trying something different instead of doing the same thing over and over expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity. That's just insane, people. So let's not be insane anymore. Let's again get our people elected at the local level, and then maybe we can gain some experience, learn some things, then maybe we can, you know, do something, have some influence on the federal policy, because right now don't look like we are. Not through voting, at least not through voting. Again, I do not want to minimize any impact that people have had on in addressing these issues without, you know, using politics as that mechanism. I mean, you don't have to vote to put demands on politicians, and that's either local politicians, state politicians, and federal, you know, because we have seen some movement or some influence through those methods. But just want to say that, though, you know, voting right now in these federal elections and voting for the president or CEO of USA Inc., that's just futile right now for us. It's just futile. We ain't picked nobody, and we ain't got nobody that's going to represent us. So, I mean, just why invest in that? Okay, let me see if I can gain control of the browser. Pull up that story. Still having issues. I don't know what's going on right now with my system, but there's nothing I can really do. Okay, it's starting to clear up now. All right, let me get logged back in as I was logged out. Yesterday, that's really all I have on Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is they're just fraud. This whole election is fraudulent. It's fraudulent. Now, yesterday, I did talk about what's going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Today, still no new information to report. I think the uprising has somewhat subsided. At least I'm not seeing any reports of, you know, continued activities on by the people. But what I'm not seeing, they're still making excuses, like I reported yesterday, of why they're not releasing the video footage, which was captured on the body cams of two other officers. We found that out yesterday. So the district attorney said he's not releasing it unless he plans on filing charges. I mean, he should be releasing it, period, because according to First Amendment, the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution, the press has a right to access that public material. This is not private material. This is public. This was all recorded on public devices, so therefore the public has a right to know. So they're still stonewalling on that. I heard people were talking about the young man had a gun. I have not heard anybody dispute what his family has said about him being licensed to carry that gun. Nobody's disputing that. I haven't heard anybody say, oh, it's not true. We looked it up, and he did not have a concealed and carry permit, which then tends to show you that there must be lying about, oh, he had this criminal record, because if he had this long criminal record, he wouldn't have qualified for a CCW. So, or whatever they call it in that state, conceal and carry permit, CCP, as they call it here in North Carolina. So keep my eye on that. But also, another story I'm watching here in North Carolina. I think I may have reported that they had shot another unarmed motorist. It wasn't Charlotte police, but it was the North Carolina State Police. And the victim ended up being white. And I saw an article saying that this shows you why Black Lives Matter ain't just about black people. That it's about police brutality in general, and what they're fighting for would benefit all people. And that is to rein in, you know, the slave catchers that are killing so many people out there. And so this white guy turns out that he was deaf and dumb, meaning he couldn't speak and he couldn't hear. And that might have been why he wasn't stopping, or I don't know. Not a whole lot of information other than, you know, the stop has come out. They're not saying why they were chasing him, really, because it was supposed to have been a car chase. But it's coming out that he was deaf and dumb, that he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And he was unarmed. So, and this was the state police. This was not Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, although it did happen in Mecklenburg County, which is, and I think it happened in Northeast Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. But it wasn't CMPD that shot and killed him. It was the state police. So we'll see. I'll be watching that story because, you know, I'm of the mind that, hell, if they will shoot a deaf, dumb, and he wasn't blind, but he was deaf and dumb. But if they kill white men, unarmed white men, then I ain't got a chance out there. I just ain't got a chance. If I come across the wrong slave catcher, I can hang it up, you know, because they killing white men out here. So what makes me think that they going to treat me any better? So that's a story that I'm watching here in North Carolina. I have seen some other stories on killedbypolice.net. Again, people getting killed just about every day. Matter of fact, 2.3 people a day, it seems, are being killed in the United States. And that's just very, very high casualties on any battlefield. That's high. That's real high. Again, not saying that every single last one of them wasn't a justified shooting, but just far too many of them appear to be unarmed people or excessive force was used. Let me see. I do have control back of the switchboard. Let me see. I think we got our abolitionist partner calling in. 803. I think this is Max.
Thanks, Brother Scotty. This is Cynthia Max Park.
Greetings to you, comrade. What's going on with you today? What you got for us?
I'm on my way back from Greenville right now. I'm going home for a day or two, long enough to broadcast tomorrow. And I just want to say I'm really looking forward to disseminating the information that we've been uncovering that has happened since this watershed moment with the DOC, Department of Justice, canceling their private prison contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's already had a number of ripple effects that we can see, and I'm looking forward to explaining those things to my audience tomorrow on New Abolitionist Radio at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Black Talk Radio Network. I was actually, I don't know how much of the broadcast you were able to hear today since you're traveling, but I was actually talking about it earlier. I had made some posts from Seeking Alpha, the financial online platform that, you know, looks at the stock market, and you have all these analysts working for them that's writing for them. But I posted in our abolitionist group on btrcommunity.com that now you got some analysts with Seeking Alpha that's telling, they're advising people not to even buy Geo Group stock while it's low. They're saying don't buy it. They're saying that the industry may not survive, even though they only rely on, I think, Geo Group 12% of their contract, CCA 15% of their contract is federal. The rest of it is pretty much the state, unless you're talking about contracts outside of the United States, like Australia with the Geo Group. But it's pretty damn good news when, or I would say it's a pretty good feeling when I'm seeing people like financial analysts giving such dire predictions for the private prison industry. You know, not to say that they have any special insight that we have. They may not, but it's good to still see them telling people to stay away from this prison stock.
Indeed, and I believe that there's a quote been going around basically saying that white supremacists only understand and react to two things, and that's bloodshed and a loss of income. And we have certainly caused a loss of income with this DOJ news. So we're going to be talking about all of that tomorrow and what the ripple effects that we've seen so far have occurred. I did hear what you say earlier, and I would also like to point out that Johanan shared some information that came out as well that shows that the majority of investments come from investment trusts and investment firms, upwards of like 50 or 80%, not quite sure what it was, but mainly it's these blind investment firms that are putting their people's money into private prisons for them. And when you hear these investment gurus telling you what to buy and what not to buy, they're not necessarily talking to the individual per se,
because right, right.
I don't know anybody that says, hey, let me go out and buy some prison stocks. They're mainly informing the
managers,
investment firms that handle these accounts.
Yeah, they're talking to people who do this for a living, managing, you know, other people's money in these portfolios and whatnot. But again, Max, that's why I say, man, there's just so much for us to do, for abolitionists to do. One of those things is taking your money out of the banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, that are invested in private prisons. So your deposits that you're putting into these banks, you don't see it as you're investing because you're not getting paid a dividend on those stocks or whatnot, but they're using your money. The money you put on deposit is all put into a pile, and it just don't sit around waiting on you to take it out. No, they invest that money. They invest that money. They play with your money, and they are investing in private prisons. So that's number one, taking your money out of these banks. Number two is looking at your 401k and making sure it ain't got no private prison stocks in it. Or giving your portfolio managers explicit directions not to be taking out stock with not only investing you in the private prisons, but any of the Fortune 500 companies that utilize prison slave labor. But see, so many of us are not willing to do that. We're not willing to do that. We're not even willing to do the minimum amount, but we are willing to complain about what white supremacists are doing to us.
Indeed, as we reported on New Abolitionist Radio, just regarding the teachers union alone, nationally has nearly $100 million invested into private prisons. And the way that they have this money invested is, as you just mentioned, through their 401k plans, which are managed by investment firms. And one of the largest investment firms that has the most money invested in these private prisons is called the Vanguard Group. The Vanguard Group is often used by political figures, from everyone from the president down to senators, who put plenty of their money into these investment firms.
Hillary Clinton, too.
Redirect that money into private prisons.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton, I looked at hers. I think she's in Vanguard 500 Fund. I think that's the name of it. They got different names for their financial products, but that I looked at that. They said it was whichever fund she was in. I know it's with Vanguard. Okay, I think it was the Vanguard 500. And many of those companies that she invested in utilized private prison labor. So,
well, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, we already know that she is an architect of what we know today as the private prison industry. In 1994, when she was pushing the crime bill, at the same time, the Wackenhut Correction Corporation launched its initial public offering and began what we see today as the private prison industry. And within a span of only 4 years, 94 to 98, their stock multiplied by 10 times its amount. And that was primarily due to a $600 million, from what I understand, contracts that they had invested with the government, with the Clinton administration at that time, that invested $600 million into private prisons. And I'm sure that the Clintons as well, from every report that I read, had personal investments in that same objective.
Right, right. So you don't trust her, Max, when she's saying, because I read recently, she said again, she reiterated that she will end private prisons. You don't trust
her? I will repeat what Obama said in 2008. She will say anything. Mm-hmm. Do anything to get elected.
Mm-hmm. And we know Donald Trump He supports private prisons. He said so, so it's no secret there. So again, as an abolitionist, there is no choice between Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You better, and Max, you did bring up a good point. We need to hear from the Green Party and the Libertarian Party on this issue as well. You know, are you for or against modern day slavery as legalized by the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Because I really, I've heard them use language like they're against mass incarceration, but we know that's just a politically correct term that does not properly identify what we're dealing with. So we do need to reach out to them, and I know some of them. Bruce Dixon, a Black Agenda Report. He lives in South Carolina, might be Georgia, but he's part of the Green Party, and I'm definitely going to reach out to him because we need to hear more from them on this. Again, I ain't looking for the CEO of USA Inc. to save Black people. We're going to save ourselves, just like abolitionists, you know, in the enslaved freed themselves for that temporary right. time period. So, but again, it's we have to fight on all fronts.
You made 2 points like that. You're absolutely right. We do need to reach out to these Green parties and get a stance from them to get a clear answer of their positions on this. And I've been trying to do that with Jill Stein and through her proxies at the moment. I've never had a chance to speak to her personally. I would like to. If anyone can introduce me to her and give me 5 minutes or 10 minutes of her time, I would appreciate that. But that's the first thing. And the second thing, as you mentioned, Donald Trump. And, you know, Donald Trump was just recently in Wisconsin where he was talking about what he was going to do with police and hire more police rather than get rid of them. And that echoed exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying in 1994, where she said, we're going to get 100,000 new police and there's going to be money for prisons. Now, we know the results of that already. We are here today looking at the results of the Clinton crime bill. So to hear this supposedly Republican Donald Trump say the exact same thing and call it an answer to our problems lets us know that, one, he has no grasp on reality, and two, his intentions are the same as the Clintons.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. All right, Max, looking forward to getting with you tomorrow on New Abolitionist Radio, as always. And, of course, we want to invite the listeners. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday night right here on Black Talk Radio Network. You got any events coming up as I get ready to wrap it up, Max?
Just want a reminder that the Missouri Cure Conference, Human Rights Conference, is on September 24th in Kansas City, Missouri, where I'll be the keynote speaker. If you're in the area, please come and attend. And if you can, help support that organization, MissouriCure.org, by making a donation and making these things possible. Hopefully that we can make some big changes right there for Missouri on September 24th. And look forward to our discussion tomorrow at 8 p.m. right here on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com on New Abolitionist Radio.
All right, Max. Peace to you. All right, that's going to wrap
up. Q&A queue is clear.
That's going to wrap up today's broadcast. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, more live programming with the Tando Radio Show. That's Tando Radio Show Tuesday night. I do not think that last week we had on, what was the name of that program? I forget people there. I talked to so many people and deal and help produce so many different programs. Cold Breakers, I'm sorry. They're like on every 2 weeks, and so they were on last week, so they won't be on this Tuesday night. But Tando Radio Show will be on from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you keep it locked right here. Again, if you had any difficulties tuning in to the stream today, if you normally listen through TuneIn, well, that's the problem. They haven't updated the stream yet. But I do need to continue to research and learn how to create our own mobile app for our own platform. Then we don't, again, rely even less on outside corporations and forces to get our message out. You know, always working, should be working towards total independence. All right, with that said, recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. Slavery was never abolished. They still practice slavery via the 13th Amendment, via the state constitutions, and Just like back in 1865, when it came to a head, you know, it's not going to end itself. And we had some people make some valiant efforts towards ending slavery, but they were tricked. They were fooled by the crafty language of the 13th Amendment. And so it is up to us to recognize that great deception that was perpetrated upon mankind, humankind, and now it's time for us to correct that mistake. So join us in this fight. It's not going to end itself. All right. So I'll be back on air Wednesday night. Yeah, I'm not on with BTR News on Wednesday afternoons, but I'll be on Wednesday night, New Abolitionist Radio. Make sure that you share the station with others and help us reach more people. Peace and blessings to all. Be safe.